morning.
Good morning.
It's good to have you here and in the sanctuary as we gather for worship today on this Palm Sunday. If you are visiting here, I extend a special welcome to you. And if it is your first time here, we invite you to take a welcome card from the pew rack in front of you. We ask that you fill the card out and place it in the offering plate so that we may know who's been worshiping with us. And I'd like to invite you all to stay for a few moments after the service for a time of refreshment and fellowship, not in the kitchen, but in Judson Chapel, directly behind the sanctuary. So it's good to have you here today as we resume worship in the sanctuary. I want to call your attention to the back page of the bulletin for the calendar for this week. Not going to read it to you, but do want to highlight a couple things. There is a concert tonight at Immaculate Conception Parish, on 31st Annual Ecumenical Concert, and some of our choir members will be singing with the choir tonight, as well as Richard Freeman and Irene Hoffman will be soloists as part of that program this evening. So there's information there. Also, on Thursday evening, we are having a Maundy-Thursday service here at the church. It will be in the parlor, so it's a smaller group, a more intimate group. That's where we're remembering Jesus' last supper, his last night here on earth. I invite you to come for that. You'll see a couple of community Good Friday services listed in the Malden area as well. I do want to point out that next Sunday is Easter, and there will be no Sunday school classes next week, but there will be activity packets available for children, and then children and teachers can worship with their families next week. I do want to thank all of those who came yesterday and or helped during the week for our work day. And definitely feels and smells and looks much cleaner in here than it did yesterday morning about 26 hours ago. So thank you to all who came and helped. It was a labor of love, I hope, but it does feel look much better. There are a couple inserts in your bulletin I'm going to call your attention to. The yellow insert is for Easter flowers. If you would like to have flowers here next Sunday, this does need to be submitted today. So please be aware of that. And also the white insert is for our America for Christ offering, which we have been receiving this month. Today is the last day that we're really promoting it. So we do want to encourage you. There are envelopes in the pews if you have not had or would like to give an extra gift for the America for Christ offering. That is one of our four annual American Baptist offerings. And this the money that is received, this offering, is used for mission work here in the United States and Puerto Rico. And we've been hearing about some different ways that the money is used. So I encourage you to consider that. So at this time, I invite you to turn in the blue hymnal to selection number 216 for our responsive call to worship. Let us read responsively from God's holy word as we prepare our hearts and our minds for worship. As the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem.
As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road.
The whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David.
Hosanna in the highest.
When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered,
"This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee."
"Lift up your heads, O you gates.
Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in."
Who is the King of glory? Who is he, this King of glory?
The Lord Almighty. He is the King of glory.
We have come to worship the King of glory this morning. Our opening hymn is Hosanna, Loud Hosanna, number 217. Those who are able are invited to stand as we sing together.
Mm-hmm.
Let us pray. Almighty God, we give thanks for Jesus who rode in triumph into Jerusalem. We praise you that he came as the conqueror, not of force and military might, but of love and peace. In the spirit of those who sang Hosanna to the Son of David so long ago, we join that great chorus of those who confess Jesus Christ as Lord to the glory of your name. We now pray as Jesus taught, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end.
May be seated. Are there any children in the sanctuary who would like to come forward for our moments together? No one's moving. Anyone wanting to go to Sunday school this morning? Okay. All right. Mrs. Smith wants... Okay. Mrs. Smith will take Annie out. Anybody else?
And blossoms gay. O'er
a time of prayer this morning, we have an opportunity of sharing celebrations and concerns with one another prior to spending a few moments in prayer. And we want to continue to remember Delphine Haldane as she recuperates from fall. And we want to continue to remember Mae Upperman as well. Mae is having some problems with her throat. She's not been able to be here for a while, so we want to keep Mae in prayer. We also want to keep David McCurie, Joe McCurie's brother, in prayer, who's deciding on some treatment for cancer in his lung. Also, I heard about this a couple weeks ago and neglected to announce it to the church family. It is in the Globe this morning, so it sort of reminded me. We want to remember the Allen family. Those who have been in the church a long time may remember. Charlotte was the last sister who was here a couple years ago. Her sister, Carol Allen Dillon, passed away unexpectedly in Nevada in her home the end of February. So there have been no arrangements announced, but we just want to keep the extended Allen family in prayer at this time. But on a celebration, we received a call from the Foxons this week, and they have a new great-granddaughter, Tamsin Helen Foxon, born to Scott and his wife. And Tamsin is the Gaelic word, from what I understand, for Thomas. And Scott's brother, Tom, passed away unexpectedly last summer. So I think it's an honor of, you know, his brother that, you know, granddaughter, or his daughter was named that. So we celebrate with the Foxon family today in this new life that was born. So as we are sad and we mourn with those who have lost life here on earth, we also celebrate the birth of a new life here on earth. So the cycle of life and death continues. So do you have any celebrations or concerns you'd like to share with the church family this morning? If not, then let's go to Abraham. Oh, congratulations, Govatak. Okay, let's see if I can remember all this. Govatak has just graduated from Brandeis and is now on her way to Columbia to study medicine. So congratulations, and our prayers are with you, Govatak, as you begin that journey. Or continue your educational journey, let's put it that way. So that is a real celebration. Anyone else have a prayer request today? If not, then let's go to God, lifting up something that was mentioned here or something that's on your heart. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, it is always good to come to your house to worship, to study, to be in fellowship with others. Lord, on this Palm Sunday, it's nice that we have returned for worship in the sanctuary, to listen to the organ, to enjoy the majesty of the stained glass windows, to have a little more elbow room, and just to be in this magnificent room to worship you. And we thank you for that opportunity, Lord. And we also thank you for the privilege we have of sharing our celebrations and concerns, praying for each other, and just having these moments of conversation with you. Lord, we do lift up all of our private prayers, and with the faith that you have heard them and that you will respond to them. Lord, give us the faith and that we can accept your response, even though we know it may not always be what we have asked for. Lord, we know that you know what is best for us, and we pray that we may pray for those needs and not always our wants. Lord, help us to be patient, for sometimes the answer is not a yes or a no, but maybe later, or perhaps, you know, I'll think about it. And Lord, we just pray that all of our prayers may be according to your will for our lives and the will in the lives of others. We do lift up those who are ill today, Lord, and ask for healing in their lives according to your will. We pray for those who are in mourning this day, missing a loved one. We realize that it may be a recent death, or it may be, you know, an anniversary, or it may just be triggering something today that, you know, we just feel an emptiness in our heart. We pray for your Spirit to fill that emptiness, that your Spirit may bring comfort and peace to those who feel like they are in turmoil today. Lord, we pray especially for students, and we think of college students, some who have completed their education of undergraduate. We think especially of Govatak as she prepares to go on to graduate school. Lord, we pray for others who may have been on vacation this past week or a spring break, others who may be starting this week. And Lord, we just lift up all students and professors and all those in the education field of all levels that we thank you, Lord, that we have brains that are able to absorb knowledge and that we can learn and that we can better ourselves. Lord, on this first day of spring, we are conscious of the changes taking place in nature. And though we hear of a forecast of snow, Lord, we know that spring is on its way. And Lord, we recognize that you are a God of all seasons, and we thank you for that. Lord, we do yearn for the renewal of life that we see in springtime. And just, Lord, help us to be patient for that to come at the proper time. Lord, we pray for our world this day as well. We pray for the areas where there is violence, where there is unrest. And Lord, we don't have to look very far. We know that we can look within our families at times, in our neighborhoods, our nation, and our world, where there is fighting. Sometimes with weapons, sometimes with guns and bombs, and sometimes with fists and feet and other things. And Lord, we just lift up today that and pray that we may find peaceful ways of settling our differences. We know at Christmas time we think of Christ coming as the Prince of Peace. And on this Palm Sunday we focus on Christ coming into Jerusalem not as a warrior, not on a white horse, but on a donkey, bringing peace, bringing justice. Lord, help us to find that. And help us to work toward that in our world. We lift all of these prayers up to you now in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We have many ways of worshiping. We stand up, we sit down. We sometimes clap our hands, we're sometimes silent. Sometimes we shout, sometimes we sing. Sometimes we pray, sometimes we listen, sometimes we speak. Right now, we have an opportunity of worshiping by presenting our tithes and our gifts and asking God to bless them. So at this time, the ushers will receive the morning offering.
Prepare the royal highway. The King of Kings is here. Let every hill and valley a level road appear. Then greet the King of Glory, who told in sacred story. Hosanna to the Lord, for he fulfills Christ's word. Then swing the gates wide open to greet the promised King. Your King in every nation is ready to be bring. All hands will bow before him, their voices join your singing. Hosanna to the Lord, for he fulfills God's word. This is your earthly kingdom, it comes from heaven.
Let's pray together. Lord, on this day when we join the crowds in Jerusalem shouting, Hosanna, we lift these gifts to you and ask that you would bless them and bless us as we share that good news of Jesus Christ with others. We ask this in his name. Amen. may be seated. Sugatha is our lay leader today, and oftentimes people, when they're lay leaders, they'll tell me several weeks ahead of time, oh, pick an easy scripture for me. No big words. Make it nice and short. Well, Sugatha lucked out today. She got a long passage. I don't think the words are too difficult, but a long passage of 49 verses. So let us listen as she reads from the gospel today.
Today's scripture is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23, verses 1 to 49. The whole group rose up and took Jesus before Pilate, where they began to accuse him. We caught this man misleading our people, telling them not to pay taxes to the emperor, and claiming that he himself is the Messiah, a king. Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "So you say," answered Jesus. Then Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowds, "I find no reason to condemn this man." But they insisted even more strongly. With his teaching, he's starting a riot among the people all through Judea. He began in Galilee and now has come here. When Pilate heard this, he asked, Is this man a Galilean? When he learned that Jesus was from the region ruled by Herod, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem at that time. Herod was very pleased when he saw Jesus, because he had heard about him and had been wanting to see him for a long time. He was hoping to see Jesus perform some miracle. So Herod asked Jesus many questions, but Jesus made no answer. The chief priests and the teachers of the law stepped forward and made strong accusations against Jesus. Herod and his soldiers made fun of Jesus and treated him with contempt. Then they put a fine robe on him and sent him back to Pilate. On that very day, Herod and Pilate became friends. Before this, they had been enemies. Pilate called together the chief priests, the leaders, and the people, and said to them, "You brought this man to me and said that he was misleading the people. Now I have examined him here in your presence, and I have not found him guilty of any of the crimes you accuse him of. Nor did Herod find him guilty, for he sent him back to us. There is nothing this man has done to deserve death. So I will have him whipped and let him go." The whole crowd cried out, "Kill him! Set Barabbas free for us." Barabbas had been put in prison for a riot that had taken place in the city and for murder. Pilate wanted to set Jesus free, so he appealed to the crowd again. But they shouted back, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them the third time, "But what crime has he committed? I cannot find anything he has done to deserve death. I will have him whipped and set him free." But they kept on shouting at the top of their voices that Jesus should be crucified. And finally, their shouting succeeded. So Pilate passed the sentence on Jesus that they were asking for. He set free the man they wanted, the one who had been put in prison for riot and murder. And he handed Jesus over to them to do as they wished. The soldiers led Jesus away, and as they were going, they met a man from Cyrene named Simon, who was coming into the city from the country. They seized him, put the cross on him, and made him carry it behind Jesus. A large crowd of people followed him. Among them were some women who were weeping and wailing for him. Jesus turned to them and said, "Women of Jerusalem, don't cry for me, but for yourselves and your children. For the days are coming when people will say, 'How lucky are the women who never had children, who never bore babies, who never nursed them.' That will be the time when people will say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Hide us.' For if such things as these are done when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?" Two other men, both of them criminals, were also led out to be put to death with Jesus. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there and the two criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. Jesus said, "Forgive them, Father, they don't know what they are doing." They divided his clothes among themselves by throwing dice. The people stood there watching while the Jewish leaders made fun of him. "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Messiah whom God has chosen." The soldiers also made fun of him. They came up to him and offered him cheap wine and said, "Save yourself if you are the King of the Jews." Above him were written these words, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals hanging there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." The other one, however, rebuked him, saying, "Don't you fear God? You received the same sentence he did. Ours, however, is only right, because we are getting what we deserve for what we did. But he has done no wrong." And he said to Jesus, "Remember me, Jesus, when you come as king." Jesus said to him, "I promise you that today you will be in paradise with me." It was about 12 o'clock when the sun stopped shining and darkness covered the whole country until 3 o'clock. And the curtain hanging in the temple was torn in two. Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Father, in your hands I place my spirit." He said this and died. The army officer saw what had happened and he praised God, saying, "Certainly he was a good man." When the people who had gathered there to watch the spectacle saw what happened, they all went back home, beating their breasts in sorrow. All those who knew Jesus personally, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance to watch. May God bless this reading.
Thank you, Sugantha. Let's pray together. Lord, on this Palm Sunday, we have begun the holiest of weeks for our faith. Lord, we, beginning of our service, we read responsively scriptures and verses about Palm Sunday, the beginning of the week. And if we've read and heard from Luke's Gospel just now, we've heard the ending of Holy Week, of Good Friday. Lord, we feel very somber as we hear those scriptures, not knowing exactly where we fit into the equation of that. But Lord, we pray that our hearts and minds may be open this day to receive a word from you that will help us in our living, especially this week of Holy Week, that we may draw closer to Christ, but it may offer help for all of our living beyond this week as well. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. On that first Palm Sunday, Jesus was hailed and praised almost like a superhero would be. This coming Friday is Good Friday, the day we remember the death of Jesus on the cross. What a dramatic turn of events takes place between Palm Sunday's cheers of Hosanna and Good Friday's cries of crucify him. This year, Good Friday also happens to be the day that two of the greatest superheroes in the world will face off in the movie Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Justice. This film is not a lighthearted superhero movie. The two main characters battled against each other. Batman versus Superman. Black versus blue. Night versus day. Man versus God. At the heart of the movie is the question of what kind of superhero the world really needs. What do each of us think? Is it Batman? Is it Superman? Or is it someone else? perhaps Jesus? The gospel writer Luke answers this question in his story of the passion of Jesus Christ. Having told the tale of Palm Sunday in chapter 19, the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem, Luke writes in chapter 23 about the passion of Jesus. He recounts in painful detail how Jesus stood before Pilate and Herod, was sentenced to death, and was crucified and killed. We often call this Sunday the beginning of Holy Week, Palm Sunday. But in some churches, it's also known as Passion Sunday. And that's why some churches you're in today, you'll see the purple pyramid, and others you'll see the bright red. Both are appropriate for today, for it's both Palm Sunday and Passion Sunday. The scripture we read and heard a few minutes ago is all about struggle, not celebration. It's about passion, not palms. It's about a cross, not a crown. At various points in the Passion story, Jesus is threatened with destruction. The religious elders bring Jesus to the Roman governor Pilate and accuse Jesus of perverting the nation. When Pilate says that he can find no basis for an accusation against Jesus, they insist that he has stirred up the people. The elders, the religious leaders, want Jesus to be convicted of sedition, the crime of speaking in a way that incites people to rebel against the Roman emperor. The painful and visible punishment for this crime is crucifixion. But Pilate is not convinced that Jesus must die. When he learns that Jesus is under the jurisdiction of King Herod, he sends Jesus to see the Jewish king. The chief priests and scribes continue to accuse Jesus of terrible crimes. Herod and his soldiers mock Jesus and treat him with contempt. But in the end, they can do nothing but send him back to Pilate for punishment. Pilate announces that Jesus has done nothing to deserve death and says, "I will therefore have him flogged and release him." But the elders of the people shout, "Away with this fellow! Release Barabbas for us!" They want Jesus to be convicted for both sedition and blasphemy, for they claim that he is committing blasphemy by calling himself the Son of God. The religious leaders and the people are furious that Jesus is being hailed as the Messiah, the Son of Man, the Son of David, and the Son of God. In this upcoming movie, Superman's mother is quoted as saying, "People hate what they don't understand." She could have been speaking of Jesus as he stood before Herod and Pilate. Pilate wants to release Jesus, but is overwhelmed by the crowd, which continues to shout, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Giving in to their demands, Pilate releases the criminal Barabbas and hands over Jesus to be crucified. Ironically, the man who gets released is the one who had been put in prison for insurrection and murder. Barabbas walks away from the charge of sedition, while Jesus gets crucified for it. At this point in the story, we expect Jesus to tie on his Superman cape and fly to freedom, or jump into a bat suit and begin to fight with all his might and with the words, "I am vengeance, I am the knight, I am the Christ man." But Jesus is not this kind of superhero. He allows himself to be led away, to be put to death. When they come to the place called the Skull, Jesus is crucified. And after being put on the cross, he says, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. What an amazing accomplishment this is, being able to forgive the people who have unjustly accused you, mocked you, treated you with contempt, tortured you, and killed you, or in the process of killing you. In this case, forgiveness is more heroic than Superman conquering the combined powers of Zod and Lex Luthor. Forgiveness takes power that is rarely seen in superhero movies. Instead, it's been seen in Charleston, South Carolina, where the families of the Emmanuel AME Church shooting victims forgave the man accused of killing their loved ones. It's been seen when Amish families forgave the gunman who shot 10 Amish girls before turning the gun on himself. Such forgiveness knows that evil is best overcome by good. Compassion and forgiveness can be shown by people who believe that God is the ultimate judge of each of us, the God who knows what is in our hearts. When Jesus forgave his tormentors, he released them from their sins and turned them over to God. We can do the same with the people that hurt us. Jesus goes on to show faithfulness to God, even when tempted to escape his fate. When he is hanging on the cross, the leaders of the people scoff at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself." The soldiers also mock Jesus, offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." Even one of the criminals crucified next to him says, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." Self-preservation is a powerful instinct, and Jesus could have commanded the angels of God to swoop in and rescue him. Both Superman and Batman, as noble as they are, tend to use all of their resources, all of their might, to defeat the power of evil. But Jesus accepted the fate that God had in store for him, even though it involved tremendous personal pain and anguish. We need to remember that Jesus knew that he, the Son of Man, will be handed over to the Gentiles, and he will be mocked and insulted and spat upon. After they have flogged him, they will kill him, and on the third day he will rise again. Jesus knew that. And Jesus accepted that his passion, his death, and resurrection were all part of God's plan for the salvation of the world. He bore our sins in his body on the cross, writes Peter, so that free from sins, we might live for righteousness. We too are challenged to be faithful at times of suffering. When we trust God through our own periods of passion, we find that the cross is never the end of the story. An experience of illness gives us greater empathy for those who are sick. A moral failure makes us more compassionate towards our fallible friends and family members. A broken relationship makes us grateful for the love and support of the Christian community. Life breaks each and every one of us in various ways, but then God makes us stronger in those broken places. Passion Sunday challenges us to answer the question, what kind of superhero does the world really need? Is it Batman, the Dark Knight, the one who has a cave full of high-tech weapons and shows no mercy to the evildoers of the world? Or is it Superman, who is faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive, and able to leap tall buildings in a single bound. No, the superhero we really need is Jesus. He shows forgiveness and faithfulness, powers that can overcome sin and death. Through his sacrifice on the cross, Jesus achieves an unexpected victory, one that offers us forgiveness and new life, causing even a Roman centurion to praise God and say, "Certainly this man was innocent." As we travel through this Holy Week, let's not look for the caped crusader to swoop in and save us. Instead, we need to focus on Christ and give thanks for his forgiveness and his faithfulness. At the end of the story, Jesus wins, and we can share his victory. Let's pray together. Lord, we pray that you will be with us this week as we journey with Jesus from the streets of Jerusalem today with the waving of palm branches to that upper room and having that last meal together, to the cross on Friday, and then to the tomb. Lord, we yearn for the good news of Easter, but we know that there's much work to be done, that the power of Easter is not as evident if we do not encounter all of the events of Holy Week that lead up to it. Lord, we pray that when we need a superhero, we won't look to movies or comic books or fiction, but we'll look to the scriptures, that we'll look to Jesus as our model, as our strength. Lord, be with us in these days as when we feel we need a superhero, that Jesus may come through his Spirit and empower us and encourage us in our journey. We ask this all in his name. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is printed on the green insert, "Ride On, Ride On in Majesty." We have followed Christ on his triumphant ride into Jerusalem. Let us remain faithful and not turn back as we face his suffering and death. For in his suffering and in our own lies the promise and the hope of new life. Amen.